Born and raised in New York City. My background primarily is marketing and communications. So I used to, be a cameraman. I used to be a production assistant at some of the largest, media organizations that I will not name. They're just, let's just say the number one cable news show in America.
Yeah, and
I used to work there
I know you
and
work for Fox News at a point.
see, I was trying not to say it, D, and you just had to go. Like, oh boy. But yeah, so I worked for a couple of stations and then, just kind of traversed into working for the city. So that is my day job, but I am pursuing I would say this is my fourth business venture, which is, GIMEEZ, Gimmees, gimmees.com. So Gimmees is, about news, culture, and trends. So that's what I've always been into. I feel that's what almost everybody is into. That is what our society has been invested in the past, I would say 80, 90 years is just information, culture, and how do things, trend in the United States. And now with the use of technology, it's kind of like you have a one-stop shop for everything. So it's all about branding for me. It's all about increasing, foot traffic to my website. I pretty much I'm an output for, all of your PR Newswire, your Scion Newswire. So anything that has to do with pop culture, trends, technology, I try to just regurgitate, the stuff that's out there, but do it on a platform that I feel, for people that are ages between 25 to 45, that it would hit them. So that's my target audience. That's what I'm trying to do. Utilize my skills that I use in my day job for my entrepreneurial advances, and hopefully just monetize and become self-sufficient within the next couple of years, And that's, who I am, what I do, and my history.
Wow. It sounds like I said, you seem to have so much going for you. I also have a background in communication. I studied communication as my first degree, and I worked in a broadcast station for about a year, in a local broadcast station. But of course, I could not, I needed the money, so I had to move out into other things. So I did watch a couple of some of the shows that you hosted recently. I know you did something for the Women's History Month and celebration, and it's amazing how you're able to articulate and you're so knowledgeable about many things. So at what point did you feel that it was time for you to start out on your own and begin to monetize all the skills that you have?
So, like I said, this is my fourth venture.
Yeah.
I used to have a PR company. Then I transitioned from doing PR into marketing, specifically for movie studios because I'm a people person. People are my business. And then I went into a photography, business. And then now I'm just doing the whole informational news blogging stuff. Just because it's much easier for me to manage, and I still get to kind of, I would say, enhance my networking capability. So everything that you've talked about is kind of what I do in my day job. I do a podcast for my job, and these are skills that I have, but all of the skills that I have, utilizing in my 9 to 5, I can still utilize them myself. It's just a different audience. So, I do work in the diversity, inclusion, and equity space, but that is just a facet of what I do, there's a more fun side, a more jolly side, how can I say, a more in the street side to myself. So that's why I decided to just kind of venture on my own. I'm on my third iteration of rebranding Gimmies. Because, yeah, because, you know, I had all these lofty dreams, but then once time constraints and family, and, you know, I still serve in the military, just, you know, military commitments, it just forced me to really prioritize my efforts. And so one of the things is when you have your own business, you have to be very realistic with your goals. And if you do have lofty goals and you quickly find that you're not meeting these goals, you know, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to just say, you know what, I'm going to continue to procrastinate and not make any moves and just let it sit and continue living my life. Or you're going to shorten your goals to more short-term goals and become more immediate. I'm very hard-headed. I chose the first part. So my website was not updated for years. It had stuff from like 5 years prior. It was just kind of like, you know, I let it sit and I paid all this money. And you know, I continue to do other things. And how do you forget about your own business? I did. So now I just resuscitated it, just try to rebrand and just refocus and re-strategize. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I really like the way you talked about, you know, really prioritizing and being realistic about the things that you're able to do. And the fact that many, oftentimes a lot of startup entrepreneurs have this lofty goals. I was watching a video with a young lady who was trying to venture into a business, and they were asking her, which I think she was having an interview with a mentor, and the mentor was saying, how do you want to start the business? And she said, oh, I want to start big. I just want to get people who are going to, and the mentor paused and said, well, I think you want to rethink. And she said, well, I know a lot of people do start out small, but I want to start out big. And she said, well, you want to start out big, but at this point, most people wouldn't want to touch you because they're not even sure what you're doing. So do you want to think about it again and think about starting out small? So oftentimes, I also fall into that category. I also started a business about 11 years ago doing market research, because that's the area where I had ventured into. But because of family and all the commitments, it was just there. And then when I do have clients, I do take on jobs. But now it's become something, you know, I've had it 11 years and it just dawned on me that if I have sustained it this long, it is something I need to, you know, actually pay more attention to and look at where it's going to take me. So procrastinating, like you said, and having, you know, having short-term goals helps us to actually move away from the procrastination. So tell me, how do you see marketing, you know, because you talked about your PR or your marketing skills, and you seem to have, you know, being, you have experience everywhere. How have you been able to take advantage of your skills in marketing to actually push your business to where it is now in terms of rebranding?
So really, you know, when it comes to marketing, it's all about, you know, number one, growth, because that's what it's all about. It's all about growth, everything that you are really building towards. And definitely there are different components of marketing. You know, the strategy portion is very easy, because it's kind of like, you know, you have a wish list, and you have hard objectives, and you just have to meet in the middle of somewhere. So the strategic part is easy, but the investment part, I feel, is the hardest, because everybody has a different life. Everybody has different wants, has different intuitions. And when you strategize, and when you have an idea, and when you have several courses of action, you may run up against a situation or person or an opportunity that may not flesh out. So do you have the capital to continue, or do you have to stop, pause, and re-strategize? And most oftentimes than not, I feel, you know, dependent on your industry, your specialization, and your, you know, monetization goals. You know, mm-hmm. if you just want to make a couple of thousand a month and you have the network and you have the supply and demand, you know, the strategy part is easy. You have the capital. You could pretty much continue and continue to grow. But then if you're in an industry where you're going up against other competitors that might have, you know, better offers, better products, better services, you don't have that network. You don't have the people, the staff to pay. You don't have that capital. Well, now we got some issues. So at the end of the day, the strategy part is easy. The idea part is easy. You know, assessing your resources is easy. But do you have the capital to continue, you know, your momentum or continue actions that need to happen? So that's just kind of what I think about, you know, when it comes to marketing.
Okay, having the capital, I mean, I do agree with you, but however, it's not always all the time you have the capital. How about if you don't have the capital, but you have the network and the people around you powerful enough to help you actually pull the capital that you need or the investment that you need? How would you speak to that?
So let's be real honest. Everything has a budget.
Okay.
And my whole thing is, I know that we all have friends. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You know, you go on Facebook and it tells you, this little computer tells you, you know, hey, you have 3,000 friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if I have a business, if I have a service, really, out of that 3,000, how many are going to utilize my service or business? How many need it? How many want it? How many are going to remember it? How many are going to support it? How many are going to take a chance on it?
Mm-hmm.
So really, is your network your net worth?
Okay.
That's why I say if you don't have the budget, because you can have the greatest thing since sliced bread, but people love familiarity. If I'm familiar with a brand, if I'm familiar with the service, even somebody that I might know, you ever have a family member like, yo, I'm about to get into this, you know, you're going to support, and you give them that, you're going to come up with your own cupcake, girl, I'll buy some cupcakes. And you're headed like, no, I'm like, I got to see how this tastes.
Exactly. The taste doesn't eat it.
But as a business owner, you're like, I'm counting on D to buy some cupcakes. My network. But D might not buy no cupcakes for like 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like you said, your network is your net worth is your network. There's this guy I follow. His name is Vusi Tembakwayo. He's a South African venture capitalist. I don't know if you've read or come across him on LinkedIn, but he says something that, you know, always catches me. He says that as an entrepreneur, if you cannot run a business that runs itself, you're not an entrepreneur. Rather, you're self-employed. So how would you talk to that, you know, in your experience with setting up businesses, since you say this is your fourth, how have you been able to run your business aside you and have it become sort of automated, you know, or not having to put all your attention into it? Because it's something I feel like that I struggle with. I have to be there and it's crazy. I just want to get to a point where I don't have to micromanage my business. I want to be able to just separate it from myself, you know, set up a business, you know, put in the work and not have to do so much afterwards, you know, after having invested so much time to set it up and put all the processes and the things that I needed in place.
So I would say that I could see definitely from a person's perspective, you know, if, you know, it's either you're entrepreneur or you're self-employed, which that is true. And the distinction is, you know, I feel an entrepreneur is somebody is that is that a vessel to continue growth, continue amassing resources, mm-hmm. continue the advancement of an organization. Okay. Because that at the end of the day, you know, your business is either a sole proprietorship, it's an LLC, it's an entity. Yes. At the end of the day, it's its own thing, or it's a, when you're a sole proprietor, it's an extension of yourself.
Okay.
So an entrepreneur is that person who's going to continue to build that entity, continue to build that organization. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're just self-employed, which is really, you know, more or less sole proprietors, you know, I don't work for another entity. I built my own entity, but I'm still a slave to that entity.
Okay.
You know, I still have to work for that machine.
Mm-hmm.
So for, you know, for all the things that go into it, you know, I'm still going to get money off of it. But mm-hmm. is it really advancing? Is it really growing?
Mm-hmm.
No, because that's why, you know, more or less multi-billion dollar companies are not sole proprietorships, the LLCs. Mm-hmm. Because just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a team to build an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can't do it all. I can't be the budget analyst, the vice president, the secretary, the courier, the marketing strategist, the PR person. I can't. And if you fall into the trap of doing that, well, then, yeah, you know, you will quickly find yourself self-employed. You know, you might be making enough to where you're comfortable, or, you know, you might make enough to where you have, you know, that budget. And that's what I keep saying, that budget that if you wanted to, you could go to the next level.
Uh-huh.
I would say that, you know, like I said, this is my third rebranding iteration of a business that I've had and I've put on hold. So I've done all of the failing things. You know, I haven't even become self-employed.
Uh-huh.
I am not an entrepreneur. I am not self-employed. I am a facilitator.
That's
the other, you know, the other form of entrepreneurship that people don't talk about. The people that really don't make money, but they continue to spend money and they continue to pump life and breathe life and do CPR to that entity. You know, Gimme's is still an entity. It hasn't grown. I can't even give metrics for audience growth. I can't even give metrics on the demographics of people. Like, I can't build a social profile for the users. How are you going to mm-hmm. have a website and you can't build a social profile for the users? But what I can say is it does allot me opportunities to enhance the brand by going to events, okay. by interacting with potential investors, by interacting with potential stakeholders, by continuing to be impactful within my community, because people know me for it. So is that entrepreneurship, or is that just being a facilitator that you have some kind of social influence, but you're utilizing an entity? So like I said, it still has a budget. If I wanted to go to the next level, could I? No. Because as a sole proprietor, you know, you live and die on your coin. And right now the coins is just like you have to kind of, and like I said, short-term goals, realistic goals, gotta cut it down, make it more manageable until either you can continue.
You can scale.
Yep. Or, you know, hey, there you go.
Oh, yeah. And I like that. I like the fact that you actually have defined a new persona for, you know, the kind of entrepreneurs that some of us are still are. We're not self-employed. We're not entrepreneurs, but we're still like facilitators. Just have that place where you're still, you know, putting all your efforts and trying to find a place to connect in such a way that you can grow enough to be able to say, okay, let me bring on board some collaboration. Let me try to grow and see whether I can even automate this this whole thing called a business to get it to where I can say now I have enough to move up to the next level. So, I mean, I like that.
And honestly, I'd like to give you, I did a little bit of research on that a little while ago. I want to give you, you know, give the listeners some types of entrepreneurs. So definitely, you have your large businesses, which that's when you get into the S-Corp, your LLCs, all that good stuff. Then you have your small businesses, which might be the sole proprietors and LLCs. Now, sole proprietors, we come in many shapes or forms. So like I said, I'm a facilitator. And even though I would say facilitator, I would say that in itself is social. Because you can't facilitate something that is dead. You got to social. So I would say that I'm social. So some other types of entrepreneurs are, you know, startups. You know, they start up and then they'll maybe make a couple of coins and fold very quickly. Okay. You know how you meet somebody who always has a job of being employed? Hey, I'm a plumber one day. Then the next week, I'm a chef. Then the next week, I'm a marketing analyst. Then the next week, I sell real estate. Then the next week, I'm a notary public. Those are your startups.
Okay.
They never really go anywhere after 5 years. Then you might have your hustlers, you know. Then you might have your, you know, your innovators where they're really good and they, you know, have small businesses and they innovate so much within their field that they graduate to the large businesses because they make so much money and that budget continue grows. That's where the level I'm trying to get to, innovation. But in the field that I'm working within, whether it, when it's news, culture, and trends, I got to find a new way of getting it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you always will have the last ones, which I like to call are the imitators. Greg, what is an imitating entrepreneur? It is somebody that, and I listen to some, you know, self-help people, Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins says that all you have to really do to be a successful entrepreneur is look at what somebody else has done, look at their mistakes, and don't make the mistakes. Success is nothing but imitation at a grander stage.
Yeah, I remember when I worked in manufacturing, one of the key things, because I worked in a company that had, they were in Africa, they were in Europe, and they had really big markets they were managing. And one of the things the CEO used to say is to copy with pride. So I'm not gonna do something, I'm just gonna pick it from another market, bring it into this market, review, adopt, and adapt it to suit the market. So, and to speak to, just to reiterate what you just said, it is really true that, you know, oftentimes innovators are just reinventing what has already been done in a new way, you know, adding, it's like trying to make a recipe better, you know. Sometimes someone brings me a meal I don't like, but I feel the ingredients I could use, you know, to make it better and to make it taste, you know, fit my taste buds. What I do is I simply just add on, you know, remove and just make it something more palatable to suit my taste buds. So I do agree that innovation pretty much, I like the way you look at it, is taking what people already have and just simply doing it in a different way. So tell me, how do you enjoy? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So tell me how you're able to juggle family life and, you know, business and all the things you do. Because I think it's something to speak to as well, as we go through this journey of trying to find ourselves in innovation and looking to do things differently.
So I would say prioritization. That's my juggling formula. What is more important to me? So yes, it is great having gimmies. It's great. I love it. I love saying that I have my own business. But my priority is, you know, my responsibility, which is taking care of my family. And then after taking care of my family, you know, taking care of the physical things. Everybody's got a roof over their head they have to account for. Mm-hmm. If they want to eat, food ain't cheap. And if you want, you know, first world problems and not third world problems, mm-hmm. prioritize from there. You know, what goes first, the cable mm-hmm. and the Netflix? Mm-hmm. So how do I continue to utilize, you know, my day job? How do I continue to excel in the nonprofit sector? Because I still do dabble in the nonprofit sector. And then while I maintain the day job, continue to excel in the nonprofit sector, continue to learn as a business owner. Mm. You know, you have people where they graduate college and they're like, I'm going to start my own business. And usually those are the people with no prior responsibilities.
Yeah.
Because I find it very hard, especially in today's world. Oh, I'm going to start my own business. And I have a whole family to feed. Okay, well, how are you going to feed that family?
Exactly.
You know, unless your significant other is just like, I'll take on all the responsibilities, you go do you, and I will finance you. Mm. You know? So that's
the reality that we are faced with as family owners. It's easier, like you say, for people who don't have responsibilities to say, I want to go start a business and pursue their dreams and their passions without having any additional tagging along. But when you have a family, you have to think. And this is where I always say to my spouse, if you don't support me, it's going to be hard for me to get to where I have to go, you know. I'm going to keep struggling. So when I say, you know what, this is how we're going to do it. You just have to help me, you know. And if you're unfortunate not to have a partner who empathizes with you, well, too bad. You may never grow.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yep.
Yeah. So how do you then keep up with current trends within your industry? Because I know one of the things that helps innovation is being able to understand the industry you're in on a consistent basis and try to follow up with the trends and see what's changing in order to be able to determine or foretell what's going to happen next. So simply put, just trying to forecast by looking at trends and data and all of that. How do you actually do that?
So usually businesses, you have to imitate what works. Usually if a business is going to roll out a product, they will test it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing I feel for small business owners or for okay. sole proprietors. You test your network and you use them as your litmus for prospective buyers or prospective customers. So for me, it's okay, I know my target audience. I have a very, very good variety of people within my network. You know, males, females, millennials, Gen Alphas. Mm-hmm. Gen Alpha now is, you know, the younger crowd, 18 mm-hmm. and older. I know mm-hmm. some of them because that's my part of serving in the military. So I use those younger troops as my little, you know, testers. Like, yeah. What do you think about this? How do you feel about this? Mm-hmm. And then that's what I go off of because I look at the target audience that I want to go for. And then I utilize my existing network, test it out on them. And then still I look at who is growing. You know, I look at other news sites. Case in point, acquaintance of mine's Jason Lee. He's the owner of Hollywood Unlocked. I would love to get to that level. And he actually grew from the ground up and grew from just his network, because he started doing his gossiping site, blogging site, utilized his network to get onto reality shows, and just kept hopping on reality shows to where it grew his personal brand, it grew his pockets, his budgeting, and it grew his network, because that's all you do when you're in the industry. So now he's able to build his own studio. He's able to be self-sufficient. He's able to hire more staff and continue to grow other physical locations. Could I have done that? No. Because number one, I can't do reality TV. I belong to the government, I can't do that. That's not happening. And also just for personal reasons, I can't do that. So that's a sacrifice. So Greg, how do you get to the Jason Lee level? Well, I just continue to expand my network, continue to educate myself in the current trends within that field, you know, continue to try to forecast what steps that I could take that could be realistic, and wait for the most opportunistic time to strike, because that's another component. You have to strike at the right time. And that's a part of marketing, right time. So that's how I look at it.
Right time marketing. I like that. So I just have a couple more questions, and we can just wrap it up, or you can ask me questions if you like. So I've always wondered how innovation should work. Would you say innovation should just happen like that, or should it be planned?
Because So let's be honest. Innovation. What is really innovation at its core? Okay. So there's a difference between inventing and innovation. And this is why, you know, people get caught up between the two, because and there's even a difference between innovation and, creating something, you know, because I used to think that innovation was just all about creation.
Creation. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not. So, you know, how do I put it? So
an invention. Should it be deliberate or disruptive?
Yeah. So an invention is creating something new and original. Innovation is turning that, you know, into something better. So that is really the two. Invention is I'm making something new. Innovation is making it better, you know, and making it more successful. So when you talk about innovation, really is the ability to look at something, analyze it, and make it better. If you are not doing that, if you are not in that mindset, then you really have to assess, well, am I an innovator or am I a conceptualist? Because I believe conceiving something is more along the lines of inventing.
Yes.
So, and that's where we get murky. Myself, I'm a straight innovator. That's all I want to do. I want to take something that is working and make it better. And make it fit me, as opposed to creating something. I don't want to create. I meet a lot of people that do want to create, though, but they don't have the capital.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest difference, money-wise. I believe innovators, where we're more apt to be more successful than inventors.
Okay.
And unfortunately, as we continue this current trend of technological advances, and more of the bigger companies continue to swallow up the talent.
The talents.
Continue to swallow up the smaller companies.
Smaller ones.
Yeah. It's really, you might invent something. Really, is it your invention, or is it that company's invention?
I mean, if it's bought over, eventually it's no longer yours.
Exactly.
If someone pays for it, I mean, with the with Facebook, who's now Meta, swallowing up a lot of smaller techie companies who want to try to come compete with them. At the end of the day, they are the innovative company, you know, seeing something and saying, you know what, we can see where this is going for the future. And we know that if we don't do something and take this over, this might be bigger than what we think. So I think they're kind of innovator, you know. Facebook itself needs to be categorized as one particular type of innovator. I don't know what to call them. Maybe the dragon innovators. They eat up other other companies. So thank you so much. I just have one last question.
Yeah,
so what
sure.
do you see as the biggest challenge for you as an innovator, an entrepreneur, boarding one, or as a facilitator, as you have defined it? What would you consider to be the biggest challenge on this journey?
Financial constraints.
Okay.
That's the biggest one. And then, you know, you'll have your people, well, why don't you apply for a loan? Or why don't you apply for a small business grant? Yeah, I'm not going to apply for something, get it, and not fulfill the obligations that come with it. Because you know me, because it's, the number one is financial for me, but that's tied also into time.
Yes.
Like you said, I'm always busy ripping and running and gunning. Mm-hmm. How would I look applying for a grant, let's say $25,000? And you're like, Greg, all right, $25,000, you know, that should be able, you should be able to self-sustain for like 6 months and really go from there. Could I? I know my time constraints. You say that's easy, but that for me, that's not easy.
It's not. You
know, because I'm the CEO of Gimme's for maybe 30 minutes of the day.
Mm-hmm. And that's not enough.
That's not enough. That won't fulfill those obligations.
Yeah.
So yeah. So for me, it's definitely financial. And I am working towards obtaining more financial freedom so that I could free up more time, so I could strike at the right time to maybe get the grant. Or no, just save up the coins, make a product, and maybe get an investor. And, you know, get to that level to where, you know, you want to get to where you're like, oh, well, the business, you know, is self-sufficient, it runs. Well, just because your business might be self-sufficient, it still needs somebody to run it. And okay. I ain't gonna let my other half run it. That's my baby. So yeah, so financial constraints and then time.
And time. I think those are the biggest challenges for everyone. I always say time is the most expensive commodity on earth, next to money. So, and if you can find time, I think money will come along, you know, because time is what it takes to do everything. It takes time to pull resources together. It takes time to also grow the coins to be able to push what you need. So on that note, what would you say is the biggest habit an innovator, an entrepreneur should have to become successful? It may be one, it may be two, it may be more, but I think there's certain habits that one needs to have in order to be able to get to where they need to go. I mean, many books about habits, but what would you, how would you speak to that in terms of how you see it?
You need to have, I feel, three core things. You need to be a person that can persevere. You know, a successful entrepreneur is somebody that perseveres. You need to be self-motivated.
Mm.
And you need to be a networker. Mm. So perseverance, self-motivated, and a networker.
And those three things will definitely One of the things will definitely get you to where you're going. One of the things I also feel works for us as budding entrepreneurs, that's how I like to put it, is, you know, being able to also read the right kind of resources, you know, having access to the things that you need to grow, which is one of the reasons why many of us are on this program, you know, trying to be better, trying to learn the works. If I didn't come for to do this master's, I don't think I would ever go ahead and do what it needs for me to get to where I'm going. But the program, the master's degree is forcing me to take all those steps and realizing that these are the things I need to be doing as an entrepreneur in order to be able to become like one of those that I look up to. So it's, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, but it's a lot of work, like I see. And we all have to put in that work. And it takes discipline. I will say discipline all the way. Whether it's time, resources, or money, everything has to be plus discipline. Otherwise, we will never get to where we're going. Thank you so much, Gregory. It's been a delight having you as my guest. I do appreciate you. I know I see you as a celebrity. I don't know about any other person, but I do follow you, and thank you so much for all you do in the space of PR and all the media work you're doing. Yeah, I think it's exemplary, and I just want to say good, well done on that end. I'm also following you out there on social media. And definitely, Gimmies, with more work and more push from you, we'll get to where it needs to go.
Yeah, well, I'm hopeful. Thank you. Yeah, and thank you for, you know, interviewing me. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm going to stop recording. And then if you then decide whatever next steps you want to interview me, you know, we can start all over again.